Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome into a very special edition of In This League. It is Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. I am not Scott Bogman. He is right there.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Hi.
I just want to know how many people are tuning in right now going, where the hell is my normal show?
Yeah, where is the other show? I liked your high, by the way. Your high was like Dave Chappelle's white guy voice. He was like,
hi.
Hi.
Hi, fellas.
How are you?
Hi. How you doing, everyone?
You notice how we don't have to go too far to get our like super white voice on there?
No.
It's not too much of a stretch. It's not. But this is a very special edition of In This League. Maybe not at your normal time, covering you guys up. And, you know, it made me think of something that was really funny. We do no less than 274 shows on just across the interwebs. That's about an accurate number, right?
That sounds exactly right to me.
Yeah, yeah. Give or take
274, 275, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, we don't have semantics. We're just all over the place. We do a lot of stuff. And one of the shows over on the Fantasy Black Book, which is a part of Fantrax, we had FNTSY's own Jim Day on there. And we were giving him a little bit of crap when he came on because he had done this Follow Friday tweet thing where he's like, oh, the amazing personalities of FNTSY. Oh, my God, you got to follow them all. And it was everybody but you and I.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're forgettable sometimes. So,
yeah.
I don't know if I blame Jim Day.
I didn't blame
him. I'm going to blame us.
I mean, so. Blame is a difficult thing to do. Did I absolutely make that the first thing out of my mouth when he came on?
Of course. 100%.
Of course. Who would expect anything less? But what it made me think about is like, yes, this is special edition. You might be hearing this at a different time. I don't know. Outside of maybe, I mean, I shouldn't say this because, you know, Gabe and Greg and stuff are all over. But, like, there's a time of the year where we are on, one or both of us, every single day on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And, you know, hey, God willing, we get to keep doing that. I did the updates last year on Sundays. We've got our normal show, which is over on Saturday, live on Saturday, the 3-hour ITL show. Plus, we've got NBA takeaways we've been doing. I do the sports updates during the week. Our coverage on FNTSY is magnificent. And here we are again, incepting into people at a brand new, weird, crazy time. And I like it, Bogman. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I mean, anytime we can find some new followers, some new listeners, that is all good stuff. So if you guys like what you hear today, hopefully you will listen to all the other stuff. Because if you are bored, you're looking for stuff to listen to, we have got you covered with all kinds of stuff.
That's our selling point. That's our selling point.
Our selling porn?
Our selling porn, yeah. Our selling porn.
We're the Larry Flint of FNTSY. Is that us?
I'm having a rough time with words today. This is going to be difficult. When I have a tough time with words, it's going to be rough.
I'm having a tough time with emotions today, so it's all okay. Anger, and that's it. So
yeah, and that's totally okay. Yeah, no, we're all over the board. We hope you guys follow us, and I'd also say would love to get you guys over on our Patreon because we like to incentivize. One of the things we've done is for the leading up until May 31st, it's my favorite thing that we've done. Every person who joins up is a kale chip that Bogman has to eat. And it's magnificent.
Right.
And I'm very, very excited about it. And we're going to do a series about it. So many fun things. Just like this episode, Bogman, what do we got going? Let's tease what we've got going in hour two and three, because I'll be honest with you, what we're going to do this hour is going to be super fun. It's going to be a great conversation, especially if you love video games, if you love sports video games. We're going to have a conversation for the whole hour about that. But in hour two, Bogman is going to become a QVC salesman.
That's right. I killed two birds with one stone here. So my buddy, Nick Allen, is the owner and proprietor of the website College Football Winning Edge. And I am a huge college fantasy football nerd. So when I saw his stuff, it's mainly used for betting stuff, the Welsh. It's like, you know, but he has, and it's going to relate to what we're going to talk about here. He has VGR, which is a video game rating.
Oh, for every player. I got that in college one time, but no.
That's I had to have the cream for VGR one time before. Okay. But it's a video game rating system for every single college football player. And it's just for college fantasy football people. It's amazing. It's also good stuff for bettors. So we kind of lay out how he came up with this system, what it can be applied for, and all that good stuff.
Are you going to do something like this? This is my envision of what's going to come up here. It'll be like, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. My name is Scott Bogman. I'm really excited to have you here. Oh, wait, what's this? I've got my dear friend Nick Allen on. Nick, so nice to see you. Oh, thanks, Scott. Nick, now, let me ask you. Do you have something amazing to bring to our audience? Well, yes, I do, Scott. Nick, you're going to have to tell me more.
What's your PayPal again? Because I'm just going to send you $100 and make you edit a whole bunch of stuff here.
Yes, yes.
That's what's going to happen.
I could use it. So now that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to listening to it. It's going to be Bogman and Nick Allen in hour two. In hour three, none of Bogman and a little bit of me. It's actually going to be a conversation I had with Jim Callis of MLB.com over on the Pipeline. And it's a Prospect One exclusive, but we're going to bring you here a little bit of conversation exclusive in between of Bogman and I. But it's going to be Jim Callis's take on the MLB draft, a lot of the prospect talk, how they're going to relate. I'm going to, you know, try to relate it to fantasy and kind of push it in that direction. So whether you are a fantasy baseball player that plays in Dynasty and are interested in the draft, or you're just a seam head and you are just desperately wanting to know what to look forward to in a couple of weeks for the MLB draft, we are going to have that. So Nick Allen plus Jim Callis, that's what's on docket for the show here. But this segment, Bogman, this hour, we had talked about, let me set this up properly. We had talked a couple weeks back on the In This League live show, the Saturday show, about NCAA, the video game, which I think arguably, that's like one of the top video games of all time. Like, I think you said it was your number one.
It's definitely my number one. If it came back, I would instantly buy it. And to be honest, I don't know if it will ever be as fun as it was when I was younger, when, you know, I had a roommate. My roommate and I would play NCAA, and we'd go through the seasons and get our recruiting classes and all that stuff. But it's still awesome.
You know,
it's definitely my favorite.
That's a pretty good way to think of it, too, because what this has to do with is we didn't really talk like crazy about the video games themselves. We were actually talking about Ed O'Bannon, who, you know, has been known as the killer.
Thanks, O'Bannon.
Is it O'Bannon? It's not O'Bannon.
O'Bannon. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. That's lame.
I know
that's
you
annoying.
Hate him now.
I
like
hate
you
him
didn't
now.
Hate him before.
Like, I didn't hate him when he destroyed NCAA, the football video game, but now that I have to call him O'Bannon, I actually hate him. Thanks, O'Bannon.
Thanks, O'Bannon.
He's kind of been known as the guy that destroyed NCAA a little bit inadvertently, because he sued NCAA for the likeness rights. And what NCAA was so famous and known for was literally just doing everything verbatim for what was going on in college outside of the player's name. Plus, they let you edit everything. So there would always be a guy. Everyone knew this guy. It was like, you know, like some people have their dealer. Like, we would have our NCAA name guy, and that guy would be on the internet. And during those times, there was
dude,
actually two periods of time.
This guy put, I think he put an advertisement in Athlon one time. It was an Athlon or one of those college football things where, like I said it in the last show, you send him either a memory card or cash, and he would buy a memory card plus whatever his fee for copying over his rosters was, and he would mail it back to you. And that is like the initial how we got the names on the roster.
I would actually love to find that guy. Where is that guy? Because there was like a main
guy. Nick Allen.
It might be Nick Allen. There was like a main guy. So I guess maybe a little bit of the history of that, because I actually also then want to come back to your other point. But the history behind that was in the early stages of you know, like PS2 or PlayStation. I think it was like PS2.
Early ages of PlayStation 2.
What you just said.
Had memory cards and no internet.
What you just said was the setup. Was there wasn't like the online play necessarily. Right. It was you go on a website. There'd be this guy who I think they started off. They'd get the game. I think there might have been a couple of them. They would lock up for like a month or a couple of weeks. And they would just insert everybody's name. They would adjust the stats accordingly if need be. And then you could go on the site and you could purchase a, like you just said, a memory card, or they could pay and whatever, and you would get the name. So then you would play this NCAA game and you would have everything. It was magical. Someone did it also for the, remember when EA Sports had the baseball game? Wasn't it Triple Play?
Yeah, Triple Play.
Yeah, amazing. And someone did that because there was a period of time where that game got into giving you minor leagues. And then I don't remember what the year was. I was super into it though, because I remember, this is a specific memory I have of it, because that game, they had inserted, I think it was Baseball America's top 100 into
but
it.
But they didn't have the names.
No, but you would know who they were. And that was the year like Connor Jackson with the Diamond. It was Carlos Quentin
right.
And Connor Jackson for the Diamondbacks were both top 100 prospects. Chris Burke.
Chris Burke was in there. Yeah, I remember.
You would go in and you would know like those were official ones, and then you would go in and get the adjustment. So same guy would do that. Then there was the next level, which happened, which kind of put, it didn't put this guy out of business, but I think it made everything better, because once you were able to start accessing things online, because I remember a period of time, like right when it had moved into this, where what you could do was you could then just go onto their website and you could download the file, and you could then take that file, put it on your memory card, load it up, boom, you've got a regular season up there with all the creative players. And that was where it moved to eventually. You could just pay the dude and you could download the file online. And that was pretty awesome.
That was as close as I've ever gotten to sexual gratification from a video game. When I was able to download the rosters instead of having to send stuff in the mail or send the guy money through whatever and then have to wait to get the rosters, I was like, because I didn't realize you could do that. And maybe you told me about it, or maybe I figured it out. I don't know how it happened, but I it took 10 seconds for the whole thing to download. And I was like, oh my God.
Well, because you and I, we did 2 years, I think, where we spent a month. And this is, this comes back to that question I want to talk about. We spent like a month of just every team, every name, whether it was college football or the baseball game, just going through and making sure it was all perfect, making sure the guys looked how they were supposed to look, all that type of stuff. So when that happened, that was next level. And then my last real good memories of the sports video games was where they had kind of invented some of these games. I want to say it might have been the baseball game, but they had one of the baseball games. They had invented essentially this like locker system where you could go in. It was like their roster system. This is before you had to pay for like the PlayStation Network and whatever. And then people were just uploading files. You could just download without paying, without anything, just instantly. You would download the file, you could load it up, and that was like Madden. I think it was where Madden had that, where you could get all these updated rosters and all this type of stuff. And then that was where it all kind of moved to, and this was a process that we dealt with. But NCAA was so special in that it took, you know, the Madden physics into college football and excitement with all the players, the recruitment stuff. It was one of the best video games of all time. I think it's hard to disagree with that as a sports fan.
Yeah, I definitely don't disagree with that. It's definitely my favorite. And there have been great, great sports games, but the NCAA game, and, you know, remember last week when you brought up they're thinking about they might possibly bring it back.
Well, that's what I'm about to talk about.
Okay. All right. Well, then go ahead.
I mean, you jumped right into that. That's literally where we were going to go into the next segment, because this brings up two things that we want to talk about. First, we've got a cool article that I want to talk about the top 25 sports video games of all time. But the reason this came up was because there was this weird little chatter, like you just mentioned, with Ed O'Bannon stuff and NCAA, that the game could someday come back. Well, it actually became a big pressing thing where here's an article from USA Today that says, for many sports college fans, NCAA's study the issue of athletes' image and likeness boils down to one question. When is EA Sports NCAA football coming back? EA Sports, a video game, declined this week to address the possibility of its game returning, but the product was popular, ranking behind only FIFA. Where does this
FIFA the Show and Madden are probably the only games that were ahead of it as far as sports games
go. Yeah. Let's see. Now read what President Mark Emmert said to a group of sports editors in New York about 10 days before the association unveiled a committee. So they've got like a committee on the, I think the, you know, the legal issues of name and likeness. And it says, we're at a place right now where I strongly believe that we need to be more proactive in looking at and exploring what could or couldn't occur regarding athletes' names, images, and likenesses. What it does look like to allow greater flexibility around name, image, and likeness and still have this not be pay for play, that these are students playing other students. What does it look like to do that in the space? So he's just kind of talking about, you know, that they are in a full exploration stage of it, and EA is in the exploration stage. EA spokesman John Reseberg said this week, we don't have any added comments to Joel's comments a few years ago, who is this person? His name is Aragorn. Sounds like a character from Game of Thrones. Said, I'd love to see the game
Prince
come
Aragorn.
Back. Yep, the players love it. Colleges have video game leagues now. If it came back, I would go and buy some EA stock seriously. So that's where people are. You'd have to really go through this article. I didn't do a good job of picking out the really good pieces of it. But the NCAA committee and EA have both kind of explored these possibilities, which had everybody online, Twitter, everywhere getting super jacked up and excited. And that is the momentum that needs to happen for this game to come back. So what we are going to do when we come back, we can talk a little bit more about this game. I want to explore the idea that you just brought up about the process of when we played this game. And then we are going to look at the top 25 best sports video games. This according to Fox Sports. And there are some surprising ones in there, so we're going to debate that. So don't go anywhere. This is a special edition of In This League. It's Bogman and the Welsh. We've got some great stuff coming up in the next hours. Like we told you, Nick Allen and Jim Callis are coming up. But stick around. Top 25 best video games, NCAA. Who's on the last cover, Bogman? Do you remember?
I don't. Denard I don't remember at all.
Robinson.
Denard. Shoelace.
Yep, Shoelace. All right. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
In This League.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In This League.
Oh. Welcome back. More of In This League, the special edition. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh. You can find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. In This League is a place where you're going to get tons and tons of entertainment if you like fantasy sports entertainment. I was about to say we don't have wrestling like fantasy or like sports entertainment, but we do. We've got a show with Pizapia and Jim Heaney, Tim Heaney. I said Jim Heaney, Tim Heaney. That
he's thinking Jimmy Hart.
Jimmy the Mouth. We've got In This Ring that's on there, but we've got football, baseball, basketball. We've got college football, which we're kind of talking about baseball prospects. And over on our Patreon, we even go into breaking down movies and TV shows and having a lot of fun over there. So patreon.com/ITL Army. So Boggs, before we went to break, you brought up a really interesting thing when you're kind of talking about NCAA and, you know, there's this possibility that the game returns, which gets both of us excited. You're saying you're going to buy it in a heartbeat.
I just got to get this off my chest, the Welsh. I hate that we get this stupid article every year about how the game is going to come back. Just quit teasing us. Just bring it back or not. This is like, hey, you know what we're going to do? This is what NASA does every year. We're going to go to the moon. We're going to go back to the moon. Everybody loses it. And then they say, well, weren't we supposed to go back to the moon? Oh, yeah, but logistical and things plus stuff and budgets and blah, 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 blah. And that is what happens with NCAA. every single year. It is the sports video game equivalent of NASA going back to the moon. Well, they talk about it, they talk about it, they talk about it, and then it never happens.
Here's a better article. Here's a better article that might make more sense than the one that I pulled up, because there was a lot of just banter stuff in the USA one. This one is a fan-cited article. It says it was just announced a week ago. So when was it this article came out? This article came out. So, yeah, just about a week ago. This is a couple days old. That NCAA was forming a committee to consider changing the rules to allow players to be paid for use of their name, images, and likeness, first reported by ESPN. So that's where it's coming from. NCAA forming a committee where players could be paid for their likeness. Should there be a rule change, EA Sports said that it was more than open to bringing that game back. Should there be a rule change, EA Sports could potentially use the real names of players in its video games instead of quarterback number 16. And then this is interesting where they go. They say if the game did, in fact, make a resurgence, there's a good chance we'd see a Clemson football player on the cover, which is something we'd never seen, because Trevor Lawrence would be the favored candidate to wind up on the cover of the game. And it's kind of talking about just a bunch of other stuff of like teams that are wanting it and pushing for it. So if you've actually, I know there is an article all the time about this, but if you actually have NCAA doing this,
the players want to have it happen, but also, you know, you have to think about your long-term potential. And, you know, we dislike Ed O'Banion for ruining one of our favorite video games, of course, but I don't necessarily blame him for what he did.
Ironically,
using his likeness.
Ironically, though, what I think is super interesting about this is because, you know, the lawsuit stuff, it's old now. You know, the game, the last version of the game, as I mentioned on the other side of the break, had Denard Span on it. It was the Denard Robinson. Denard Span is the outfielder for the Twins. Denard Robinson,
yes.
In 2014. So that was the last version. There's been enough space between the game that this is where I kind of think this makes sense. NCAA says, we'll regroup on this. We'll have a committee. We'll consider for their name, likeness. Now, the only thing that can get tricky about it is that, like, well, I don't know how they would do this, but, you know, like jersey sales, like teams can go and sell jersey number. Clemson can sell a jersey that says number 16 right. without the name on it, and they'll make boatloads of money. If they were to agree that players should be paid for their likeness, there could be an argument of a nameless but, you know, numbered jersey of their star player covers their likeness, so they could open up a can of worms for them. But let's take that out for a minute. One of the things I feel like, because you're so distant from that lawsuit, that you might have a situation where they're like, yeah, you know, we're going to consider like getting these guys, you know, paid for their name and likeness and stuff. But because there's so many, it'll end up being like a really small amount. You know, EA would have to pay a substantial, and, you know, if EA were to do an NCAA basketball and a college, they'd have to pay a substantial amount to NCAA, which would then probably disperse it. But it would end up looking something like, I'm just throwing out an arbitrary number, like $1,000 a year, you know, for
right.
for their likeness. And, you know, there are top people that could be like, oh, my, this isn't enough. You know, if there was like, you know, these guys like O'Banion and stuff that were still like looming around, this is ridiculous and we need to be paid more. But because it's so far gone and guys love the video game so much, you would probably have an overwhelming vote of yes, we are with this, and not an attack on a lawsuit that they're not getting paid more. They'd just be like, oh, we get $1,000 and our name is back in a video game. No one's going to have an issue with it. And as soon as this is signed off and agreed upon, you're not going to go back on it. There's going to be no more suing for the likeness.
Well, we talked about the VR stuff with the pitchers the other day, right? Do you remember that?
The
Dodgers using it and stuff. And I pondered the question.
But just so everybody knows, there's a company that had a VR system for batting practice that the Dodgers are using. And it's not just like generic ball comes in. They actually have the likeness of a pitcher, how he pitches and how the ball comes off. So we were discussing, you know, well, how does this company that's going to make a consumer product have the rights? How are they managing the rights and the likeness of, let's say, you know, Garrett Cole? Like, how are they putting that in their thing without paying a likeness or, you know, it's something to the Players Association?
And I don't know if they are or not, but I did like because it's funny because that article was on The Athletic and I looked at the comments and someone was saying, well, if the pitchers are upset because some of the pitchers were not happy about their likeness being used in this game or in this program, however you want to say it, that they should have to buy the likeness rights. And I looked it up, and MLB for the show is the second highest licensing agreement that the MLBPA has. It's MLB the show paid, and they had the 2017 numbers. It was $9.4 million. So that was what they paid last year, what EA paid or whatever it is. I think San Diego, I can't remember the name of the company that makes MLB the show, but they paid 9.3. Tops paid the most, the cards, at like 10.7. So if they just organized and they were able to make a NCAA Players Association or NCAA Football Players Association to use their likeness, you know, it would be about $13 million EA would have to pay doing the quick math.
Okay,
you know,
yeah, right, I was about to say that's
130 teams.
Yeah, I was going to go
guys
with 12
per team. Yeah, 100 guys per team, $1,000 per guy, like you said, but then they could start making trading cards as well. And they could get licensing fees for that.
Yep.
They could do many other things. So I think this would benefit. It costs the NCAA nothing to do this. So why not let them do it? But they're afraid of unionizing them and then them wanting to get a salary as well.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of other interesting ones. Like we said, how about, you know, the jersey sales and how is that going to work? There's also, you know, how would the memorabilia stuff? You're bringing up an interesting thing where a place like Topps would do that. Would then players be able to sign, you know, memorabilia? Like I look at, there's minor league players that sign deals with Topps or independent companies where they autograph a bunch of stuff. They get a chunk of money. Like, is that how that would work? Now, all of it's good for the players. Yes, not everybody's a big name. Is the backup linebacker or the backup offensive lineman going to get what Trevor Lawrence is going to get? No, but who cares? They're getting something at this point. It opens up the possibility for all of this stuff. And NCAA, you know, they're just going to have to, I mean, they're greedy. So why wouldn't they want, you know, to have EA, you know, and Topps and all of these companies pay huge deals so then they can, you know, these guys are going to manufacture products. NCAA brings out a whole bunch and they probably end up paying, you know, 40% to the players or something like that. But
right,
it opens up all of these really interesting possibilities. The association they build could make it tricky, and that could be the thing that holds it up. Because if NCAA could just say, yes, we are going to do this, and this is what we're going to do, there's got to be somebody who represents the players that signs off on this. And my envision is they go and they make a committee of like 10 former players who are going to be like, man, these guys aren't getting anything. This is nothing. And then they're going to be working in kind of, they think, the best interest of the players. When the players, at the end of the day, it would be a huge move for them to just make some money. And video, ironically, video games and trading cards might be the opening to student athletes finally being paid.
I read an article the other day, or I didn't read the whole thing. I just saw the kind of the headline of it, of course, because that's what you do when you're a person. But
like me with the USA Today article. I'm like, hey, right? Look, this is about the thing. And I start reading it and I'm like, oh, boy, this is not good.
this is way more than I bit off the chew here. But so Dabo Swinney is the head coach of Clemson.
On his world tour right now, too.
Yes, and he just signed his new deal that for $9.3 million a year to coach Clemson. If they took $20,000 for every single player on his roster and gave it to them every year, he would still be the highest head coach, highest paid head coach. If they took it out of his salary and gave it to the players, he would still be the highest paid head coach.
But what would that be, like $300 per player?
$2 million. Yeah, it'd be $20,000 a player. If they took $20,000 and gave it to 100 kids, which is what they have on the roster, that would be $2 million.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Then
he would be at $7.3 million.
Yeah,
and he would still be the highest paid head coach if all of his players got, you know, $20,000.
But see, that's an interesting aspect that if these guys, like, I think it's so. I'm going to be so fascinated if, you know, the gate and the seal is broken because of video games. I mean, that USA article, as garbage as it was talking about how there are teams out there that have video game leagues in college and stuff like that. Players are playing in that. If video games or trading cards open it up, back to your point, what could be more, what could be more advantageous for teams and NCAA to do is say, hey, instead of us, real quick,
Stone.
Just instead of, yeah, it does, but they might say, hey, instead of us going and letting the players get a cut of each one of these deals. Let's just give them a blanket salary that's based off of it, and then they can go and sell the rights, and they take the profits of, you know, they go take the profits of EA Sports, and they go take the profits of Topps, and then, you know, they bank all of that, and then the jersey profits are thrown into it. Now they can put names on it, and they can just do so much more that the idea of, okay, like you said, $2 million per team is allocated to player payment. The loss of that is outweighed by what the schools can ultimately do on the top end, though the small schools would be the ones that would kind of be in conflict. You know, the small schools aren't going to be super excited if every school had to pay $2 million. The places, I'm trying to think of like some super small school that's in
like
Division
Troy.
One. Yeah, sure. Yeah, like they're not going to be super excited because do they have any stars? But could, you know, could they... Could they mitigate the $2 million fee by, you know, having player likeness stuff in there? Or I mean, I don't know how they do it, but.
Well, I mean, you could base it off of TV contracts within your conference.
There you go.
You could base it off of ticket sales and bowl games and things of that nature. You know, if they just put a little bit aside for the players now instead of putting a little bit aside for the eventual lawsuits, I think everything would probably be better.
It could also be a pooled situation where they can say, hey, listen, you know, just like our world, they could say, hey, listen, the top guys are going to be the ones where we are going to make bank off of, and they're going to be able to help kind of pay for some of these, you know, like a team like a Troy who might not, you know, that $2 million may be this big hit that they're not sure that they can even, you know, they can recoup. Or you take a team like Ohio State, which would probably make hand over fist with video game deals and card deals, and players would have different, you know, maybe avenues where a guy like, you know, Trevor Lawrence, if he signs a deal to be on the cover, you know, he can make some extra money. I think it's fascinating, and I love, like I keep saying, video games or trading cards could be the thing that actually opened this up. I don't know, though, Boggs, if it's more likely for them to take cuts or them to get a base set of money from schools. I don't know which one would actually make sense or happen. I feel like the base money opens up this bigger perception that they wouldn't want to get into. So that's why maybe having cuts of all of this stuff is where they need to go.
And maybe it's just percentage of everything that they earn between, you know, the conference TV contracts, the top sales, you know, the player likeness sales, all that stuff. Maybe that just goes in a pool and they say, hey, look, kind of like you do with the collective bargaining agreement in MLB or NBA or NFL, where it's, you know, you're working towards a percentage going towards the players. So it's like 53% of all NFL profit goes towards the players, and to, you know, that's what you have to spend for your cap and all that stuff. So maybe it's something of that nature where it's like, look, you know, we're going to take whatever it is, 75% of this stuff that we weren't getting money for at all before, and we're going to give that to the players. And then the other 25% is going to go towards, you know, healthcare or whatever for these players down the line, whatever they deem necessary to save that money for. And that way you're killing two birds with one stone. Like I said, you're paying the players and they're able to use their likeness, and you know,
what better
saving money too.
And what better sentiment to like get people back on NCAA's side if they did that? Because then if they want to go and add more games, add more turn, you know, make it bigger tournaments, you know, I mean, really they can just throw a couple more bowl games in and they could probably mitigate a third of the price that goes to these colleges. And then no one's going to bat an eye when they're now playing, you know, another game, or there's an 8-team playoff for the BCS, you know, stuff like that. That's how they can go back and they can kind of get the public back on their side. It's a conversation we could probably have, you know, on and on and on. I'd be curious what people have to say about that and how excited they would be. One thing, because when we come back from break, we've only got about a minute here. I want to talk about this top 25 sports video game thing. But I thought it was interesting when you said, like, would it be the same for you and I? Like, the younger people, it's just not going to matter. But it was special, you know, like you and I, I'm living alone, you're coming over to my house, we're playing this game, you know, we're sitting there editing it, we're playing, you know, till all hours of the night, which I guess people do with Fortnite and stuff like that. It would be different for you and I because we're old and we're irrelevant, and we'd probably play a couple games, and then we could never play online as some like 7-year-old is saying horrible things to us online, and we're just getting our asses kicked and losing 40-2 and stuff like that. But
well, that happened when we were 20. So
yeah, but you would definitely pick up the game in a heartbeat because you have a PS3. A listener bought you a PS3.
Yeah, well, he didn't buy it for me. He sent it to me because he never used it. But and it's funny because the listener that sent it to me is an Oklahoma fan. So kind of funny if I then got the NCAA game and then just used Texas to beat up on Oklahoma all the time.
And just all the time. You just post videos. And I mean, that there'd be a whole big revenue source for people that play Twitch. You know what I mean? The people that are on Twitch, if people could start playing the college video games. I mean, and look, also, there's an untapped thing. I wonder if NCAA figures. Look at, like, the Madden leagues. You know how the ESPN has shows where they've created, they had a draft, a Madden video gamer draft they did on there. It's huge business, and NCAA is missing out on all of that, and this could be their opportunity. Whether it's different for you and I or not, I think we would still play it, and then it gets a younger audience even more jacked up and excited about college football when there are so many choices, and it gets that all idea just back into people's minds instead of playing Fortnite. Hey, look, I'm getting excited about Ohio State. Now I want to go to Ohio State. It's just there's a whole litany of stuff. But don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we are going to talk about this list from Fox Sports, the top 25 best video games of all time. We're going to pick it apart, see where our games fall in, and see who comes in at number one. So don't go anywhere. More Bogman of the Welsh on In This League, the special edition coming up.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire. In This League.
Oh, I remember.
I love it.
In This League.
Oh, I remember
that.
All right, welcome back. It is In This League special edition, Bogman and the Welsh. Coming up in hour two, Nick Allen and our own QVC salesman, Scott Bogman. Nick, let me ask you something. Do you have a special deal for our audience today? Why, yes, Bogman, I do. Let me tell you about, what was it, VBR? VPR?
VGR, RVP? You know what it is.
RVD?
Why do you always do that?
Rob,
why do you always act like you don't know what something is when you clearly know what it is?
I honestly didn't.
You knew what it was. VGR. It's not hard. Video game rating.
Video VGR. Game rating. Okay, I like it. How apropos for the conversation that we're having. And it's not just actual video game ratings. It's actually for DFS and for college fantasy football, which I think is so unique. And everyone is going to find out about that in the next hour, which will then follow my conversation with Jim Callis over from the Prospect One podcast that I host. And it's a full-on conversation about the 2019 MLB draft. So a lot of fun and good stuff to get you guys covered. But we have been talking, we've actually been talking a lot about the NCAA football video game, which all these rumors of it potentially coming back. And we were even off air here during the break. We were just like sitting here talking about just all the possibilities of ways that NCAA can, you know, just continue to make money. They can help the student athletes by giving them the opportunity to make money. That, you know, NCAA could just, you know, they could have flat fees. They could take cuts of everything. They can use the new deals, license deals, to, you know, pay the players off. Things like Topps and EA Sports and, I don't know, Nike and stuff like that, or whoever does the jerseys. They could take all that money, pay the players, not actually take away from their own pockets. Then they could go and add games, and then they would probably have a bigger use for their own likenesses. You know, then maybe the teams get control or split. You know, they can now split costs with names of jerseys. There's just so many damn things. We could
it just
probably
makes
spend an
too
hour
much
doing
sense. That's why it will never happen for the NCAA.
Yeah.
It makes too much sense, and there's too much money to be made cleanly. So there's no way it'll be done.
No. I mean, what are the guys who pay the money under the table going to do?
Yeah, I mean,
what's Sean Miller going to do anymore? So
right. Come on. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. What is Sean Miller allegedly going to do? Right.
What are they going to do? All right. But this but the conversation kind of built up because NCAA football was Bogman's number one game. I'd have to say, I mean, it's up there. I don't think it was my number one. I have very fond memories. You know, we've told the story of our friend getting up and leaving after I beat him one time. But I have very, very vivid memories of Madden. Madden probably has got to be number one with all the history it has. I have this one where, like, you know, we played all the time. All the time. And I remember we had a bunch of people. This was at my house. I had a couple roommates. Bogman was over every day. And we had couple dudes over, our guy Will was over, and we had started up a game, and I was playing our friend Jeremy, and somehow, like, he was like beating me, and I wouldn't, you know, not to be verbose about it, but like I beat people up a lot. Like, Will always wanted to beat me, and he couldn't, probably could destroy me now. And it was he had the lead, and he had like a 3-point or 4-point lead. There was no time left. I was literally on my own goal line. And I threw a deep pass to Terrell Owens. I was the 49ers. Jeremy controlled his cornerback, missed. I caught it, went 99 yards, and I spiked the controller. And I was just in the entire apartment blew up. They blew up. And so, like, Madden's always had that type of memory to me. I also love the baseball games, but I don't blame you for loving NCAA. NCAA, it was definitely.
It was a whole game. Like, the gameplay was awesome, of course, but it was the entire game. Like, you could recruit your own guys, you could switch schools, and then, you know, bring a school up from the dirt back to prominence, and it was just the whole overall game was fun. And then you could also run those triple option teams if you were ever got good at that. That was fun to do as well. I mean, it was difficult to learn.
The Dynasty,
once you got it down, it was hard to beat. So
you're right. The Dynasty was the most unique portion. Nobody did Dynasty like that because you didn't care about these stupid creative players after a year or two. But when you got to go recruit them, you would go to cities and they would be interested and then they would sign. Like, that created some excitement. But I will tell you, because I would always be ASU, I hated when I would get fired after the third year. And I was like, I don't want to start over. This is bull crap. I don't want to take any other jobs. But it was uniquely fun. So it got me thinking just about video games in general. So here's this Fox Sports article on top five best sports video games. And let's get into it. Here's some honorable mentions. They threw out Pong at 26, which is stupid. They had NBA Street Volume 2 as 25,
I love that game.
Yeah, that was number 25, so I guess I'm jumping. I guess the other two were. I love that game, too. NBA Street was awesome, and they did a football version of it, too.
The football version was okay, but our same friend with the our same friend that was so upset about the NCAA game, I used to murder him in NBA Street, and he would get so mad and break stuff. It was hilarious.
Yeah, NBA Street was great. But, dude, this right here, I guess I did jump. This honorable mention, I just have to mention, since we already mentioned 25, they put honorable mention Madden 2001 did not make it. Now, they picked a very specific year, and here's what they said. They said, the biggest secret of Madden football franchise is that Madden football is, for the most part, real, actual garbage, this person says. I'm sorry, I know that hurt for some of you, which is ridiculous. But by and large, it's true. Madden games still tend to make for clunky, unforgiving gaming. It's almost miraculous how Madden can take the fastest sport on grass and somehow make it feel like a trench war. Listen to this guy. I'm going to out this guy's name. Dan Carson at the Dr. Carson is saying this. He says, that being said, the franchise has had its moments. Yeah, dude. And I have to give a tip of the cap to Madden 2001, whose next-gen graphics blew the mind of every child who walked into Target. This was the new one on PlayStation 2, I think. I think it's the one with Eddie George on it. So the first time I saw digital Eddie George, and it's his to scale soap bar mouth guard, I left the store figuring he would, whatever. He's just putting all his stupid nonsense in there. I agree. Madden, we played Game Day until PlayStation 2 and Madden 2001. That was the game changer for Madden for me.
It really was. Yeah, 2001, when it switched over, Game Day just couldn't keep up with the graphics and the gameplay, and it was just, you know, all Madden
What's
after that. So they were fairly split.
What's up with this freaking nerd? Madden's garbage. What are you talking about, dude?
All right. He's got Wave Race 64 in this.
Yeah, number 24 is Wave Race 64. Which, let's see, number 23, I remember this one. This was a pretty good one, and I'm not sure why he's throwing this into sports so much, because it's racing, but Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. I do not consider this a sports video game. This is a racing game, which not like NASCAR.
Yeah, those NASCAR games are so lame.
All right, so this is a lame one.
Yeah, that one, I actually like playing that game. That was the only Need for Speed that I enjoyed playing. But I'm with you. It's not a sports game.
It's not at all. Number 22, NCAA March Madness. And he doesn't quite give the year. He says, a great basketball game with poorly rendered, no-name college players. He says, who just happened to have the same skin tone, jersey numbers, and skill sets of the real guys. He said, the best part was realizing the game developers tried to argue that number 4 on Duke in the game with the gelled hair, porcelain jaw, and unstoppable 3-point shot was no way inspired by J.J. Redick. That was the one with Mecca Okafor on the front. And I absolutely remember that one.
Yeah, that was, I didn't play too many of those, but that one was pretty solid.
This game I loved growing up, and I don't love the sport itself. Tiger Woods PGA Tour, and he just said the 2000 years. I got obsessive about Tiger Woods because it was, I mean, you get a hole in one on there. Then they had all the, like, you could buy the stuff. I loved that game, and I don't think you ever got into it.
I did a little bit. I think I like playing that one by myself more than I like playing with other people. I don't know. I believe I found you annoying during that game whatever reason. Well, you would talk smack at a golf game. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, shut the hell up. What are you doing? It's just a golf game. Like, I get it for football. I get it for baseball or anything else, but we're just playing some golf here.
Okay.
And you got to, like, throw it in my face. What are you talking
as
about?
As Bogman's the guy who will go play, you know, whatever it was, 1998 Olympics and do the, do the weightlifting one because nobody can press a button faster than Bogman. And he's like, I mean, talking crap there. Number 20, Fight Night 2004. I remember all of us playing the Fight Night games.
I used to, no one could beat me at Fight Night.
No, you were impossible.
When I was good, no one could beat me at Fight Night. And part of that is because you could knock me out 10 times, and it was pressing the button real fast
to get up.
Have your guy stand back up, and I would just get back up in 2 seconds. I remember somebody giving up one time when they literally knocked me down for like a third time in one round, and I got back up in 2 seconds. They're like, this is never going to happen.
Yeah.
So
you were impossible in that game. Yeah. We should get back to the boxing ones. All right. Here's a couple other ones that are dumb. Nintendo 64's Cruisin' USA was number 19. Never played that. I do think I played once or twice. Number 18, SSX Tricky. It was a snowboarding game. SSX.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I played the snowboarding game all the time.
Number 17, he picked specifically MLB The Show 17. And this is out of our range. So It's hard to, I mean, last time I remember playing MLB The Show had to been like the 2014 or 15 or something like that, because I came to your house. We played. I hit a homer.
Wasn't like Sabathia on the cover or something?
Nah, it was like, I think it was like Pujols' like first year with the Angels or something like that. But I just remember, like, we were in a battle, and then you're pretty tough with, you can be tough with your pitching. And then I crushed a homer like in the eighth inning or something like that. And it was like the sixth inning, and you're just like, I'm done. Because it was like a 3 or 4 run homer. And we just stopped, and we never played again. Never. I mean, that was one of my favorite games of all time.
Right.
Favorite games of all time. We need to pick that back up. Number 16, Golden Tee. Okay.
That's the acceptable smack-talking golf game because you're at a bar.
Yeah.
You know, you're playing that at a bar, and you're usually at least 2 beers in.
Number 15, Madden 1996. That was where Madden was like on the cover, and it had like a panther attacking the Jaguar.
Right?
Super Nintendo. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was the first Madden that had create a player mode in 1996.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Love create a player mode. Number 14, Mike Tyson's Punch Out. I'm actually a little shocked. And I think people would not approve of this. Being 14, this should be a bit higher.
Yeah, it's got to be higher, I think, than 14.
This is why this nerd guy is not going to work. Number 13, he picked Tecmo Bowl. Come on, dude.
No, I don't know. Tecmo Bowl's got to be higher than this.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. Tecmo Bowl at 13. Tecmo Bowl's got to be in the top 7. Like, unless you're like 20 and you have no relevance to it.
Dude, he's got NHL hits as the next game. Give me a break.
The GameCube. Get out of here. Let me tell you something about 6-7 months ago, during First Pitch Arizona, hosted by Baseball HQ, all the big baseball people, fantasy guys come out here. we're hanging out with everybody. We're over at the hotel. We have a big room. We're setting up a poker game. It's Spore. It's Bogman. It's Colette. Eno's there. And over in the corner, Derek Van Riper and Sammy Reed have brought a computer, and they're setting up a emulator to play Tecmo Bowl in this room. And they set it up. They had the controllers, and people were playing freaking Tecmo Bowl in there. Don't tell me Tecmo Bowl is number 13. Number 12, yeah, it's stupid. NHL Hits 2002. I liked this one. This might have been one of my actual favorite games of all time. It was on the Nintendo 64, WWF No Mercy.
I don't remember No Mercy. I got to be honest.
But great game.
This can't, if we're counting wrestling as sports games,
yeah,
this can't be the highest wrestling game.
No, it can't. It's got to be the Raw one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The original, like
the original Raw.
Let's see if it's on there. Number 10, 1080 Snowboarding. Who cares?
Nope.
Number 9, NFL Blitz. That was a great game.
Blitz was fun.
For the time, Nintendo 64, Blitz was fun.
Yeah, I liked arcade Blitz more than I liked Blitz on 64.
Okay. Number 8, this was, I think, still in our wheelhouse because this is a Reggie Bush cover of NCAA 07 football.
This is the last one.
Yeah.
I think this is the last one played? I played consistently. Yeah. And I was I really enjoyed this game, and that would probably be my number one right there.
Yeah, it's up there. Number 7, he put Mario Tennis. Come on, man. Number 6, NBA Jam.
Ooh, NBA Jam. Yeah.
I mean, it might be appropriate.
That's about the range. Yeah. The very first NBA Jam where you could switch the players. Remember, you could put Bill Clinton on your team and stuff like that. Urkel.
I love the cheat code stuff where you could get the dudes. Yeah. God, NBA Jam was great. I know people love FIFA. You and I just don't belong there. So he has FIFA 07 at number 5. I just can't get down with that. FIFA looks like a fun game, but it wouldn't be in my top 10. And I know it's blasphemous for people. Either. Number 4, NBA 2K17. The last NBA game I played was the year before Andrew Wiggins came in. So that's all I remember. Because I remember editing the draft class and making Andrew Wiggins and those guys. So whatever that game was the last basketball game. But all the NBA 2K games are great.
Yeah, they are. And I don't remember the last one I played, probably in the same range.
Boy, these top three. So think of the games, you know, that haven't been mentioned yet. Here's the top three. Number 3, he puts Backyard Baseball.
Never played it.
1997. I've heard some people that like that. Never played it in my life. Number 2, again, I don't know if this guy understands the true meaning of sports video games. He put Mario Kart 64.
It's not his explanation. It says go-kart racing is a sport. That's what he says.
Dude.
That's racing.
Now, number 1, I'm not going to disagree. It belongs in the top 10, and it belongs very high. But at number 1, it truly tells you where this guy is at and not appreciating sports games. He put Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Now, I played Tony Hawk. I love Tony Hawk. It belongs on, like I said, maybe even top 7. But there's no way, if I'm thinking sports video games, that Tony Hawk is above Madden, NCAA, or the baseball games, NBA Jam.
2K.
And frankly, Bugs, we talked about it. WWE, what was it? Or WWF Raw. It had 12 players in it. It was like Stone Cold. And that was one of the best video games of all time.
I will never forget my friend getting so mad at me because he did a heel turn on him in the middle of a Royal Rumble and dumped him over the top rope.
That sounds
great. He was so mad at me. And it's a video game. It's hilarious.
It's great. Here's what I want to know, because I think I'm not sure we can even think of any other admissions from this. Like, are there anything that's missing? I mean, he kind of covered all of them.
Only Raw.
Yeah, Raw's not on there.
Counting wrestling as sports, Raw is what we're missing.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate in there. And he had a college basketball. He had 2 college footballs. I mean, he killed Madden in this one. He really did. He did the 96 version, and then he put 2001 as an honorable mention. So I don't buy a lot of it. Here's what I want to know. What does your guys' look like? Give us your top 3. You can tweet us, is it the Welsh Bogman Sports, or under the episode if it's tweeted out. You can tell us, what are your top 3 sports video games of all time? Because that's what I want to know. So that was a fun conversation, and hit us up and let us know. But Bogman, we're going to end this hour. Coming up, you and Nick Allen in a, how QVC is it going to be? How much are you going to sell me?
I would say a 6 out of 10.
Okay. Are there going to be an extra set of knives if I order within 20 minutes?
You'll have to listen to find out.
I'm just teasing. It's going to be a good conversation. They're going to be talking about everything that Nick's got going on. It is very valuable stuff for you guys in the college fantasy football world, whether it's DFS, gambling, or whatever. So tune in right here. It is Bogman and Nick Allen, NCAA talk, coming up on the other side of this break. Right here.